from Tribeca.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody, on this sunny Friday. I hope you have happy plans for the weekend.
Yeah, to everybody. So here we go. We made it through another week. You know, I was just thinking.
Yeah.
We had Jonathan Karl on before, the ABC News White House correspondent. The Korean summit was like, huh?
When did that happen? History.
What?
And now we're discussing a jacket.
That was so yesterday. I mean, it's unbelievable how the cycle changes every 2 minutes.
We are discussing Melania Trump's jacket, part of our big three. She went down to visit the little kitties who had been separated from their parents, which was a lovely gesture on her part. But then when she boarded the plane, she was wearing a Zara $39 jacket, on the back of which read, "I really don't care, do you?" And now the media is in a frenzy. What does it mean? Is that a message she's sending to her husband? One thing I think we can all agree on, though, that was not a message that said, "I really don't care about these kids. I really don't care about this problem.
Absolutely.
I really don't care about the issue of immigration." I don't think that's what it was about. But I think Bartlett's got the smartest assessment I've heard of it, that it's a message to her husband who may have said, "Don't go down there."
Well, or it could be a message to the media, which is always criticizing her attire that doesn't seem to match the event, because she wore a $2,000 blouse to a garden.
Well, that's not a bad suggestion.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But why would she want to step over her visit?
But it was deliberate.
Kids?
It was deliberate.
Oh, I thought about that.
Oh, I think so. You just don't throw that. No. You don't throw that on there with, you know, really. You know what I was thinking? I said, you know, if Michelle Obama done that, your right-wing heads would be exploding all over the studio wall.
Your head's exploding.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. His head is not exploding.
Be fair, Joe.
His head is not exploding.
You're fixated on it.
I just know it meant something. That's all. I just know it meant something. Right. I don't think it was against the kids.
Well, also the big three, the immigration policy is still a mess. Republicans cannot get together to come through with some legislation to deal with this problem. We're going to be jumping down to Texas in just a minute to talk to Jim Ryan, who is right there on the front lines. And rounding out the big three, Roseanne is gone, but ABC has picked up the spinoff from her show called The Conners, with the cast, John Goodman and Laurie Metcalf, all back in place. What we haven't sussed out, though, Len, is how are they going to get rid of the Roseanne character from the show? They've got to kill her off in some
way. They have to kill her off. There's no other. She just didn't walk out the door and get lost.
No. She's got it.
In that Republican jungle out there. something happened.
There'll probably be some tragic accident, and they'll shed what will be crocodile tears for her, and then they'll move right along.
I think you said they could shed a lot of blood.
No, there'll be some little tragic moment and something, move on. Right. Hey, let us go down to Texas right now, El Paso, Texas, to check in with ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Michael. The immigration story in the last day or so became clearer, and it became more muddled at the same time. We've been told now that there were 2,300 kids who had been separated from their parents under the zero-tolerance policy, their parents being charged with crimes, and so therefore their kids couldn't stay with them. We're told that of those 2,300, since May, about 500 kids have been reunited with their parents, with their families. So what happens to the criminal charges? That's what's left to be determined. Some federal prosecutors here in Texas say that the prosecutions are unlikely to continue, that there won't be these criminal charges. It's a civil matter now left up to immigration courts to determine the future disposition of these cases.
Jim, I saw that our mayor, Mr. de Blasio, went down there to grandstand and got turned away. I think they should have thrown him behind the fence. But what are the mayors saying down there?
Yeah, I was standing there with de Blasio yesterday when he got up to the fence.
I hope you gave him a big kiss from me.
I didn't realize he was that tall.
Oh, he's a big, tall drink of water, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, he stood at the fence, and I think he realized that the security guys who came walking up were not going to let him in. They did need to open the gate, though, to let traffic go through, and de Blasio said, okay, I'm not going to run through or something. But he and, almost two dozen other mayors from around the country were at the border, at the Tornillo port of entry, where this detention center has been set up for kids who've been separated from their parents, mainly as a call to stop the process. And the Trump administration says the process is being stopped. that separations aren't going to continue and that those that did happen are gradually being reversed.
Well, Jim, here's a question I have, is that this executive order he signed, there's a law in effect that says kids can't be held more than 20 days. So what's going to happen?
Right. Yeah. Well, and that deadline is quick approaching for a lot of these kids, Len. And so you're right. What is going to happen? I suspect that's why the administration has kind of put its foot down, stepping up the reunification process. There's a facility over at South Padre Island, or close to Padre, where this process is happening. These reunifications are going on. But the whole process is still muddled as to what is going to happen in the future. The executive order simply said, look, there won't be future separations of families. That can't happen anymore. And so, you know, but what about all these kids who already are in custody? At the same time, you've got all these unaccompanied minors, kids who have come into the country without any parents or legal guardians, mainly teenagers. What happens with them? Mm. The administration is looking for 20,000 cots to house all those kids.
What a mess. So you had Melania Trump showing up yesterday, and now Stormy Daniels says she's coming down. Are you going to be covering that one for us, Jim?
Probably, yes.
Whatever message she wears is going to be on her front, trust me.
That's good. No, that olive coat, that jacket with the saying printed on the back of it, it's causing a lot of confusion. What did it say? It says, I don't really care, do you? Right. I'm not sure what the message
was. No, we're not. I'm stumped. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Her office, her staff came out with a tweet that said, stop paying attention to the jacket. This is about immigration. It's about children. Later, the president tweeted, Len, that the message was meant to the media, the, quote, fake news, you know, her message is to them. I don't care what you say.
Jim, where did she go? What did she do while she was down there?
She went to McAllen. McAllen is down in the Rio Grande, and that's where one of these detention facilities has been set up. She went in. She was able to, unlike de Blasio and the other mayors, she was allowed into the facility. She shook hands with some of the kids. Her staff took photos. Those photos have been posted now. She said it was a moving experience, her staff said, and that then she was supposed to make a second stop, but weather down in the valley has been horrific. Mm. So I think the second stop was scrapped. She jumped back in the plane, headed back to Washington.
Jim, so can you take us, just give us a sense of what these detention facilities are like? I mean, the kids are, they're taken care of.
Summer camp. No, that's what Laura Ingraham said.
They are taken care of. I mean, they get their basic needs met, Michael. They get 3 squares a day. They get 2 snacks. They're provided with clothing and a place to shower and a cot. Here, you know, it was blazing hot here yesterday in El Paso and over at Tornillo. The kids who are staying there are in these soft-sided shelters. It's a tent, essentially, but it does have air conditioning piked into it, and so they are kept cool. They're given their basic necessities, but not much more than that. You know, and that's where psychologists and activists are saying the neglect, or not the neglect, but the abuse comes in, that being kept away from their parents can cause, you know, lifelong damage to the psyche of these kids.
Have we had anything like this in the past, where the kids have been kept in those detention camps for a long, long time in previous administrations?
Yeah, remember back in 2014. Under the Obama administration, you had this surge of immigrants. These were the unaccompanied minors. These were kids who were being sent north, very often from Central America, through Mexico. Mm. And in fact, you had more non-Mexican citizens trying to get into the country than Mexican citizens at the southern border. These were those kids coming up, and their parents were trying to get them away from the violence and the poverty of Central and even South America and come to the United States. Those kids were housed in similar settings to that. Others have been placed in foster care or with family members who already are here in the United States.
Mm. All right, Jim Ryan down there at the border in El Paso, Texas. I think we talk to you every day this week, Jim.
I think you're right.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Thanks a lot.
I just have one thing to say, whatever it is you're going to talk about.
What? Watching Len groove to contemporary music is a sight. Listeners, trust me, be grateful we're it's on the radio and not on TV, because watching Len try to have rhythm is just a very painful
sight. I'm an excellent dancer.
Sight, absolutely.
I'm a great driver.
All right, don't go away. We're going to talk about Charles Krauthammer. a brilliant man, I thought.
He was.
I read his columns. Yeah. He was a Fox News fixture. And I think even someone like you, Lena Commie.
What do you mean someone like you? What
does that mean? Commie like you.
I'm offended.
You could appreciate
you know what?
The brilliance of Charles.
When you call me names?
Yes. Put it on your jacket. All right, that's coming up when we get back. But let's now go to the traffic with Bernie Bike. Bar.
Start off on 8:24. Good morning, everyone. On Friday, the second day of summer, June 22nd, I'll tell you, Charles Krauthammer passing away. Terrific commentator. And I have to tell you, he lived with grace, and he died with grace because
absolutely.
He wrote a column a couple of weeks ago telling the world that he only had a few days left. And he
had cancer, and he couldn't beat it. And he announced that in his farewell column that he was going to be departing this world.
I don't know how I would deal with that. I don't think I'd write a heartfelt column. I don't know what I would do, but I don't know how he dealt with that with such grace. And he was proud of his life and said he wouldn't do anything any different. And I'll tell you, I hope you're facetious when you joke with me that I only watch CNN and I'm only interested in one point of view.
No, I'm not.
No, because
I know what you watch.
No, but I do flip around and I do like to hear all points of view. Sometimes it reinforces my thinking that I'm right. And what are they talking about? And sometimes I go, huh. That's a good point, and I'll tell you, more often than not, with Charles Krauthammer, and he had a newspaper column as well.
The Washington Post.
That was published, and I think the Daily News picked it up.
Yeah.
And I would, more often than not, go, huh, okay, I'll look at it that way.
Well, he was a neocon, a neoconservative. He was a thoughtful conservative. He began on the left. He was a speechwriter for Walter Mondale, and he was very close to Walter Mondale, and in fact, he was so close to Walter Mondale that as he was drifting to the right in the 1984 election, when Mondale and Reagan were squaring off, he chose not to vote because he could not betray his friend Walter Mondale.
Hmm.
So, but he was unpredictable in his opinion. So he was a conservative who was in favor of abortion and against the death penalty.
Right.
So you never knew what you were going to get from him because he took each issue as it came at him and he gave it some thought, brought some logic to it, and then wrote a beautifully polished, the prose in his columns, terrific. And
as a fellow writer, obviously admired that. I mean, clearly.
Well, he won a Pulitzer Prize and I have yet to win one, so he's a little ahead of me in that game. Yeah. But, you know, you would read the columns and think, this is a man who has really sat down and grappled with the issue, and it was never a knee-jerk response. There were no talking points. He did not toe a predictable line. He took each issue as it came with an underpinning of a conservative philosophy about the world, about how you should behave in the world. But each issue he grappled with, and it was fascinating to see his mind play out in his columns.
I have to admit, I had watched him several times and really didn't know he was in a wheelchair.
He was, yes. A freak accident when he went to Harvard. He was a doctor, too. He was a psychiatrist, trained psychiatrist.
I did not know that.
When he was at Harvard, he cut a class to play tennis, and to cool off after the tennis game, they went to a pool, and he was diving into the pool, and he took like one final dive and went straight down, and his head hit the bottom of the pool. And he was paralyzed for life. But a really brilliant guy and very fine writer. I mean, you're a writer too, Len. The prose was so elegant.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a chess player. He was a very good chess player.
That doesn't surprise me.
But he gave up chess. He gave up chess a few years ago because he said, I've become addicted to it.
Really?
Yeah. It was getting in the way of
his
work life and what he had to do. So he gave up chess.
A few of the words of Charles Krauthammer, who passed away yesterday at the age of 68.
Well, in a sense, I think this has been one of the worst years for American democracy in general. It's been one of the lowest, least elevating campaigns ever, and we have not been enriched or enlightened by it.
And I was telling you, that was during the campaign, obviously.
Yeah. He was not a Trump supporter, by the way.
He was not?
Oh, no, he was not.
And when I told you, I really mean that fervently. There are people, I don't consider myself, despite what you and some of the audience may think, I don't think of myself as someone who says, well, everything Trump does is automatically wrong. That's not the way I come from. That's not the position I come from. But there are those who do defend the president 100%. you know, we have some hosts that we know of on various shows.
Be careful,
Len. No, I'm just saying. There's some people who defend the press. And I'm just saying that I think I really respect the guy, or I respected a guy like Krauthammer, who I knew wasn't going to knee-jerk. One way or the other, whichever side he was on, I knew would be thoughtful. And I can respect someone like that a lot more. I really can.
Right. Also, what I liked about him in this era now, where everybody is screaming at each other on television, insulting each other, being really brutal and nasty and vicious to people who are on the other side, you never got that from Krauthammer. He was a civilized conservative. Right. And by the way, all the liberal pundits, all the liberal editorial page writers, all respected and admired
Absolutely.
Him and were friends with him.
No, I agree with that. I think that there's a place for sober thought. And I think just because someone has an opposing viewpoint doesn't mean you have to be obnoxious about it, or you have to argue or break up friendships. I mean, I really, you know, he brought some elegance to the conversation. He'll be missed.
He will be missed indeed, yes.
68 years old. Now time for the Mets Chock for the Nuts Turning Point of the Game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of the game from yesterday. You win a pair of tickets. See the Mets take on the Rays July the 6th at Citi Field. Call 800-321-0710. Turning Point. Proudly presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee, since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. Time for the latest news headlines at 8:30. Go to Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Len. Our news brought to you by Rex Sells Homes for 2% total. Call them at 631-904-7739. The terror suspect who killed 8 people near the West Side Highway is back in court today. Saifullo Saipov is going to be arraigned on 6 new counts of attempted murder after he plowed a rented truck into a crowd of people on Halloween. He's going to face some new charges of assault with a dangerous weapon, already facing the death penalty for the 8 murders. New Jersey moving closer to a possible government shutdown. Governor Phil Murphy met with leaders of the legislature yesterday, but did not come up with a budget deal.
Unfortunately, the legislature seems intent on keeping the legacy of Chris Christie alive and well in Trenton with a budget to match.
Okay. Murphy will also have to decide whether to sign a measure adding a 5-cent fee to paper and plastic bags. That was approved by the Senate and Assembly yesterday. Most of that money is going to end up with the state. The retailer who charges a fee will keep a penny of it. Well, controversy over the fashion of First Lady Melania Trump continues today. On her way to visit children separated from their parents in Texas, she wore a jacket that read, "I really don't care, do you?"
I don't understand how something like that can happen at any level. The idea that Melania Trump would just choose a jacket like that, that no one would understand the message that it sends, it seems like an unforced error.
All right, that is political analyst Rick Klein. A lot of theories being bandied about what that message really meant and who it was directed at. President Trump tweeted this morning, "The jacket refers to the fake news media." Interesting that you talked to Jonathan Carl and he said, of all the theories, that one is unbelievable.
You know, Carl works for ABC News, and that's fake news.
That's so, right, absolutely.
There you go.
Now, hey, speaking of fake news, the president talks about this a lot, Len. The latest.
Well, why Len?
Well, because
Michael's sitting here, too. Why Len?
Because it's too obvious. I can't even.
All right, look, I want to talk about the Time magazine cover.
Okay? Oh, my God. That is terrible.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was powerful.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that kid.
Let me tell you the story.
Yes.
Fake news.
What do you mean? I know it was photoshopped. What do you mean fake news?
It was Trump looking down on a young Honduran girl.
Correct.
The implication is Trump doesn't care about young children separated from their parents. 2-year-old Yanlia was the face of the separation crisis by this thing after the photo went viral. But the girl's father says she hasn't been separated from their mother, and the two are doing fine.
Yep. What do you make of that?
Fake news.
What do you make of that, fake Len?
Still makes a point.
What? No, are you kidding me?
It still has an editorial slant to it.
Are you kidding me?
But it still does make a... What?
If you're going to do that,
you want to find a kid who was separated.
I didn't think Trump was standing there with a little girl.
Do it. If you want to make that political statement, find some kid that was separated.
It's still the same statement. It's like hiring
Time
a little model.
Time magazine matters anymore. Time magazine is deader than Newsweek.
Is that a real magazine or is it just online?
You can't. Who knows? Who reads Time Magazine
anymore? You can't get a
Time
Magazine.
Time's up for Time.
Wait, does Newsweek exist?
No.
No, no, that's long.
They're all dead, huh?
They're really? All dead.
How about Field and Stream? Is that still...
Len still has a subscription to the Farmer's Almanac.
Well, that's real, though. That comes out.
Yeah, and that's believable,
too. That sure does.
What's it say about winter? Are we getting snow?
Oh, it's going to be big.
Thanks, Joe. It's going to be big. Let's go to the movies next. Joe Neumeier joins us. He has a review of the latest Jurassic Park movie. Plus, at 10:40, Mark Simone's going to have on Boston talk radio legend Howie Carr. They're going to be talking about Trump's immigration moves. But right now, talking about traffic, here's Bernie Viter.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on The Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Happy Friday, everybody. At 8:40 in the morning, we are rolling right along here, Len, and you have a tweet and a winner.
Yeah, we got all of that, and we have Joe Neumeier coming up in a second. We have the answer to what it meant on the back of Melania's jacket when she says, "I don't really care." Do you? Michelle tweeted me and said it was a coded message to her Russian handlers. So there you go. I think that makes perfect sense. Hey, congratulations
Michelle.
Monica Frizzell was the first caller to correctly identify that this was the Mets' chock full of nuts turning point of the game.
1-2 to Arenado. Hit high in the air to left. It's deep. Back goes Bautista onto the track. Down the line. It's gone. A three-run homer off a changeup into the left field corner for Nolan Arenado.
Yep, first inning, three-run homer off Steven Matz, and then he had a two-run double in the second, and Colorado went on to win at 6-4. So, Monica has won a pair of tickets. Your next chance to win. Listen to the Mets postgame show after Sunday's afternoon game with the Dodgers here on 710 WOR and find out what is the Mets' chock full of nuts turning point of the game.
Good job, Monica. All right, let's check in with WOR's movie Minuteman, Joe Neumeier. He's got the latest on the big new movies for this weekend. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. I think Melania's coat actually may have been referencing the new Jurassic World movie.
Wait, before we get there, Joe, I want to ask you, how's that Gotti movie that you love so much? Is that doing well at the box office?
My favorite part of the new Jurassic World movie is when John Gotti wanders onto the screen and he gets bitten in half by two critic dinos.
All right, so Jurassic.
So wait a second. I don't really care is Melania's jacket. That's her review of your movie, Jurassic World?
Jurassic World, I think that's right. That's what she's saying. Because you know what? I mean, 25 years ago, guys, you know, the first Jurassic Park movie, of course, came out, directed by Steven Spielberg, revolutionized special effects in a great sci-fi classic kind of way. 25 years later, now this one comes out, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, not directed by Spielberg, and it's really kind of a snooze, a prehistoric snooze. Yeah, I'm giving it 2 stars. It's, you know, it's got the same kind of setup as the last one. Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are the two humans who, of course, have an affection for the dinosaurs. There's a volcano that's erupting on the island, so they have to get them off. Everybody has to get off, humans, dinosaurs, and I'm not ruining anything by saying, you know, the dinosaurs get off the island, and they kind of wind up almost in like a haunted house kind of scenario. There's a great big old castle that the humans are running around in, and the dinos are there, but now there's this new breed of dinosaur that can be weaponized.
This sounds ridiculous.
With what? Yeah. Laser guns or what?
It almost as like soldiers. You know, it's interesting. A couple years ago, there was a script floating around about 15 to 20 years ago in which there was a Jurassic Park sequel where they kind of turned some of the dinosaurs into soldiers. They kind of mix them with human DNA and dog DNA. That script was never made. And this is, right, and for good reason. Yeah. This has a little bit of a feel of that because they kind of want to turn these dinosaurs into, like, fighting machines.
Joe, I always thought the brilliance of Spielberg, you go to Jurassic Park, but he's still employing the basic elements of suspense that he employed way back in Jaws.
Exactly.
When the raptors come into that kitchen and the little kids are hiding out there. And these new movies, these sequels, they miss the boat on how to build suspense the way Spielberg did so brilliantly.
I love that Jaws reference, by the way, and saying they missed the boat. I totally agree. And in fact, Michael, that scene from the first movie when the T-Rex is attacking the kids in the car on the rainy night, there's no music. It stands still as the one of the high points of sort of action cinema and special effects cinema. It's really terrific. These movies try to add layer upon layer, and the genius of the first movie, Jeff Goldblum, who pops up in this movie a little bit for just a little cameo, says it in that first movie. He's like, what do they got, King Kong in there? That's the basic idea of that first Jurassic Park. It's like King Kong. It's a simple idea done beautifully. These things try to add so many more bells and whistles, and they just wind up missing the point. Yeah.
We're on with Joe Neumeier, our WOR movie guy. Hey, Joe, how many sequels have there been to Jurassic Park?
This is actually the fifth one. So there were three to the original. Right.
Have any of them done well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the last one, Jurassic World, made about $650 million, ultimately $200 at its opening. The three originals, the first one was huge, of course, and the sequels went down after that. So that, you know, like Jurassic Park 3 was in 2001, and that made like $180 million, which is, you know, at $2001 dollars, it was okay, but it still wasn't a huge hit. But then the last one, Jurassic World, was a huge, huge hit, and they're going to make another one after this.
Really?
So, yeah, because everything has to be a trilogy nowadays. Nothing can just be on its own.
I can't wait for Gotti 2.
Gotti 2 versus the dinos, exactly. Bronto versus Gotti.
Anything else this weekend, or is that
it? That's it. Everything got out of the way of the dinos, so this is a big one for this weekend.
Now, what about now July 4th? Is that a big movie weekend? It was in past years.
They're kind of, this year and last year, they're kind of doing a little less. So this year, just The Purge is opening on July 4th, which seems to have almost like a, you know, the teaser poster for it shows kind of a red MAGA hat. So they're kind of riffing on that, but they haven't screened that yet for critics. And then on the 6th.
What's that about?
That's about, you know, it's sort of a sci-fi speculative fiction stuff where there's a world where one night out of every year in this dystopian future, all laws are called off so people can kill anybody that they want.
Great. And, oh, yeah, fun right, times. Right. Feel good movie the summer.
Oh, God, help us
right.
all.
But then there's the new Marvel movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp, one of your favorites, Len. Superheroes running around.
Oh, yeah. I love
I know,
that stuff,
that's on man. The 6th. So that'll be the next big one is on July 6th. With
so the upshot, Joe, is skip Jurassic World and just go watch the classic Jurassic Park.
Go see Gotti for the fourth time.
Gotti. If you weren't with us, folks, for some reason, God only knows, Joe Neumeier gave Gotti a fairly good review, and the thing totally tanked.
The Post said it's the
zero
worst.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
The Post said it was the worst mob movie in the history of mob movies, and there's Neumeier touting it.
He was saying, it's all right. Well, I got to say, you know, I mean, you see so many bad movies after a while. Maybe like it's like eating bad food. Your taste gets kind of numbed. Maybe that's what the case is.
It's like airplane food. There you go.
That's right. Like airplane food, exactly.
All right. Thanks, Joey. You are Movie Minuteman Joe Neumeier. Thanks a lot, Joe. All right. Hey, we got more entertainment when we get back. Paul McCartney was singing karaoke with James Corden, and it was really cute.
Very cool.
We're going to play that for you when we get back. But first, let's go to traffic with Bernie Biden.
Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
All right. We're coming up on 8:54 on a Friday. Looks like a good one so far. I guess there'll be some rain in the area later into tomorrow, but... Hey, Michael Riedel, you know, we're going to have Paul McCartney in a moment because he did one of those carpool karaoke deals.
Is he going to be here in the studio with us?
No, I wish he would. That would be great.
You should get Paul McCartney. Natalie.
Yeah, get Paul McCartney,
would you? Paul McCartney?
Hold on,
we got an hour left to go on the show.
Sir Paul. Hold on, let me dial your number right now.
Right. Sir Paul. That would be, I've met one Beatle. That was it.
Oh, Ringo.
Shook hands with Ringo. That was about it.
I met Ringo.
That's
the one that everyone's met. Somehow.
Oh, see, he shot me down. I was so excited. I met a Beatle. Natalie said, everyone's met him.
I met one BG.
One BG,
really?
Which one?
Barry Gibb.
Nice.
He's the only one left.
Very cool.
They're all dead, except for Barry.
Let's go. Can you top this? I've met Springsteen.
I have met him, actually.
You have too?
Yeah.
All right, forget.
Yeah,
I have not.
I met Dionne Warwick and Diana Ross.
I was on an airplane with Diana Ross.
Who else? Len met Etta James and Cab Calloway.
Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra.
Okay,
all right. So you can't have an entertainment section without ragging on Johnny Depp, can you?
What's the deal
with him now?
So he's given this interview to Rolling Stone, which apparently his publicist tried to convince him not to do, but he did it anyway. And apparently he was doing some hash during the interview. Yes.
He's a weird guy.
Yes, he had equal
piled. Have you met him?
No, I've not met him.
He seems like a weird guy.
He was a great actor at one point, but now he's insane.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
He had
Edward Scissorhands.
Exactly. According to the journalist, Stephen Roderick, who did the interview, he had two equal piles of tobacco and hash. And they got into some of his spending habits. And they asked him, you know, your manager says that you're out of control with your spending, that you spent $30,000 on wine. And Depp says, it's insulting to say that I spent $30,000 on wine because it was far more, he says.
Oh,
and apparently he spent this. I didn't know he was friends with Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, the famous writer.
Gonzo journalist. And when he died, he spent $3 million shooting Thompson's ashes from a cannon. And he says, I want to correct that. It wasn't $3 million I spent to shoot Hunter out of the effing sky. It was $5 million.
Really?
So, yes.
So this guy, is he broke? I mean, what's the deal
he's
with
not,
him?
Well, I don't know if he's broke because he's in those Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Why does it cost $5 million to shoot remains ashes? Out of a sky with a cannon?
That's what he says. That's what he says. But he's definitely gone bunkers.
So James Corden on the Late Late Show on CBS does this thing. If you haven't seen it, I'm not awake, but I'm aware of it because it gets replayed everywhere. Is these carpool karaoke things, and he gets famous singers, and they go in and sing songs. But how cool is this that he's driving around Liverpool in a car with Paul McCartney? I like that.
That's good. Every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go, stop and say hello.
Hello.
And he is in my ears and in my eyes.
Oh, I am jealous.
Thank God.
How cool is that?
That is cool, but thank God they didn't sing any of those new songs that Paul McCartney came out with the other day.
Don't
that are
rag
terrible.
On the guy.
This
new
stuff is terrible, Len. Come on.
So then they did Let It Be, of course.
Let it be. Yeah, the let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
He can. James Corden can carry a tune very nicely. Yeah,
that's great.
He's a good.
So then they show up at a pub as part of the bit.
Did they go to the famous place where the Beatles first performed in Liverpool?
Well, I don't know if they did
the
that.
Club? I forget what the club
They did go to Abbey Lane Studios.
Oh, yes. I've been there.
And there's a sign on the wall that people sign. Mm-hmm. I saw it on one of the TV shows. McCartney signs his name on it, which is very cool. Anyway, so they stop off at the pub, you know, unannounced at some pub, and it's great.
So all the pub is singing along with
us? Yes.
Now that's awesome.
That's a cool thing to happen. If you're in that pub and Paul McCartney comes in and you're singing with him,
you go in there for a pint and you get Paul.
That's great stuff.
Get a pint
that's
of Paul.
That's great. So anyway, the whole thing is you got to check it out at our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. Now, speaking of Michael, Friday is always your column in the New York Post, which I read religiously.
read the last line.
I always go to the bottom where it says Len Berman and Michael Riedel at the boarding. That's where I go to the column. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so the whole column today was about Camelot.
Yes, there's a revival of Camelot, the great Lerner and Lowe musical, originally starring Richard Burton and Julie Andrews and Robert Goulet back in the day. A revival of it down in Washington, D.C. that, interestingly enough, has become very popular with justices of the Supreme Court. Both Stephen Breyer and Ruth Bader Ginsburg have gone to see the show, and I was talking to some of my Supreme Court sources, and apparently Ruth and Breyer in chambers are singing songs like "If Ever I Would Leave You." That's what they're doing in the Supreme
Court.
So
what are the lyrics? There was a simpler time.
What do the simple folk do?
No, but that other thing, Camelot. So I guess they, as Supreme Court judges, are yearning for a simpler time.
No wonder we can't get any decisions out of them.
They're too busy booking seats to Broadway shows.
Come on, we got 10 decisions
left.
And they're singing, "I wonder what Trump is doing tonight." But there's never been a revival of Camelot. Huh?
In Trump-a-lot.
Trump-a-lot. There we go. There's never been a revival of Camelot?
There was a revival many, many years ago, very briefly, only for a few performances. A lot of talk that they'll bring this revival from Washington up to Broadway.
Check out Riedel's column today in the Post. Mayor de Blasio gets denied. Not for you, sir. Will they do the same to Stormy Daniels, though? Coming up after the news, it's 9 o'clock.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Just about to say it's 9:05, and I'm thinking of that guy who called us yesterday from Queens. He says the only thing he trusts me or agrees with me on anything is when I give the time. Which I thought was lovely. That was a lovely sentiment from one of our listeners.
It's 8:05.
Didn't agree with anything else I said except for the time. 9:05, everyone, on a Friday. Good morning to you. Our big three stories. Well, you have to start with immigration. The president's blaming the Democrats on immigration, yet Republicans can't agree on a bill in Congress. And now the president tweets this morning and says, oh, Republicans, maybe we'll just give up and let's elect more Republicans and then we'll get this thing done after the, you know, after the red wave, as he calls it.
It's a problem. I mean, I admire the Republicans for trying to grapple with this issue, but it has split the party. You have the sort of Paul Ryan moderate Republican faction that is trying to come up with a scheme whereby illegals who have been here for a long time should have a path towards citizenship, which I agree with. But you have a very hardcore right-wing part that just wants to throw them, you know, back over the border and is staunchly anti-immigrant. Right. And as I think it was John Carl, who we were talking to earlier from ABC News, a White House correspondent, he says the president will have to show some leadership on this to get the Republicans in Congress together to come up with a sensible immigration
policy. Looks like he's
throwing
up his hands this
morning. Well, I don't know about that, because the Democrats certainly are going to do it. The Democrats want this issue to burn and burn and burn so they can use it against the Republicans in the upcoming midterm elections.
I can't speak for all Democrats, but when Trump and others say they want open borders and they want criminals flooding into the country, I'm not sure that's accurate. Okay, that's just me. Hey, also, as part of that immigration story, de Blasio headed to the border. We'll hear from him in a moment. The Pentagon was asked to prep to house 20,000 kids on military bases. The story's not diminishing. It's growing and spreading wings. Also in the Big Three, the big Melania jacket controversy. Was she sending a message? Husband and wife on this one are not on the same page because the back of her jacket said... Actually, it said, I really don't care. Do you? And everyone, well, we'll discuss in a second. Rounding out the Big Three, Roseanne is back. The TV show without Roseanne.
Roseanne is not back.
They're going to call it the Conners. Now, I got an email from a listener named Ann who has it figured out because we're wondering, well, how are they going to get
Roseanne? How are they going to kill off Roseanne?
Well, Ann said that the last show ended with she was about to go in for surgery, for knee surgery. So, I don't think she's going to make it out of the hospital alive.
You know what? I bet she can come back. You give her like a year off.
Roseanne Barr, you think?
Yeah, in purgatory.
And she comes in and like does a cameo?
Well, no. She'll get forgiveness and then go back on the show. Leave it open.
She's possible. It's possible.
All right. We've been talking
about... She could die from overeating.
We've been talking about Melania all more. And now, do we have any agreement here? I personally have no idea. I think she wore it on purpose. I have no idea what it means.
I think the media was making too much of it, but Bartlett has two very plausible theories. One, it's a message she's sending to Trump because he didn't want her to go down there. Yeah. The other theory is that it's a message she's sending to the media that has criticized her for wearing expensive clothes at events.
Well, that could, you know what? That has some more credence.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, what happened was her office put out a message that the jacket meant nothing. But of course, her husband puts out a tweet and said it was a message to the fake news media that it doesn't care about your fake news. Which, well, that was preposterous. But I like your theory that maybe she's tired of being clothing shamed whenever she wears something.
I think the wrong message at the
it stepped over
worst
what she
time.
Was doing,
yeah,
which is meeting
exactly.
with the kids and the families and whatnot.
Hey, Jen, Scotch Plains, New Jersey. What do you think, Jen? Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Len. I love you.
Thank you.
Hello, Jen. Hi, I'm here too.
Stephen Miller's half brother.
Oh, whoa!
Awesome.
Jen, you're awesome. Jen. Our caller of the day. I love it. Stephen Miller's half brother. Oh, that's fabulous.
Ouch. Ouch.
Ouch me. I think Melania is a bit odd. There's
Why?
Very
be nice. Be nice
her.
To the first lady, Jen. Be nice to the first lady.
No, I'm not being mean. I'm just saying there's something off about her. I mean, that whole Be Best. What the heck was that?
Oh, Be Best.
And the jacket. I mean, the jacket really put, as far as I'm concerned, that was the icing on the cake. But she has that, like, mean look on her face.
No. I don't think so. I really don't. Jen, I think you're, I don't think, I told you I met Melania. I think she's a lovely lady, and I think, I don't think
she's you can tell she's not happy in the White House. She's not happy. I don't think she's happy in the public eye. I think she's very shy. And never expected to win, never expected to be in the public eye the way she is. And she's making the best of a situation for her, which is acutely uncomfortable.
I think the fact that obviously she's from another country, and I think there's this certain mystery about her that, you know, I think is kind of appealing. I mean, her husband, I mean, they're polar opposites. He's out there in your face constantly.
No mystery about him.
And her, there's a little, you know, she doesn't talk that much, yeah. and she looks exotic, and I think that adds to her appeal, to be honest with you. I think less is more in her case.
Absolutely, yeah. Hey, let's go to line two with Danny from Massapequa. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, guys. Again, a minor issue to take us off the ball as to what is complete chaos on the southern border. I believe it was Melania's message to the media. Spent 24 days, all kinds of messages when she had surgery. She was a victim of domestic abuse. She had left. She was well.
That's not bad, Danny.
I don't think it has anything to do with the immigration crisis. I think they treated her horribly, and CNN actually said she was a victim of a domestic violence, if you can imagine. So that's what I think. That's what I think that nonsense issue is. The real issue is, and Lynn, I appreciate your intake on it. Now, I majored in this in college, but I was my life in the police department. I actually studied immigration in college.
Okay.
And in the Republican Party, as in most issues, there's a wide range of views and ideas, so it's very hard to get a coalition.
Yeah.
Yes. In the Democratic Party, their stance is DACA, full citizenship, which the president is going to give them, a path to citizenship. But the president wants a wall which would end the people coming across illegally. If you had a wall, the only way you could get in was through a port of entry, and we'd have a less stressful edges and circumstance. They find people, and every day I put up the paper, they find 30, 50 people wandering in the desert. We would put an end to that with a wall. Every country has one. It's not a bad thing. Mexico has one on the other side. Also, the Democratic Party, no reduction in the amount of, chain migration levels, no reduction in the visa lottery. They want no reduction in any
Danny,
level.
I'm gonna have to leave it there because
Len, you don't want the wall.
No, he's getting to speak more than me, and it's really annoying me that he knows what he's talking about
Danny
because he studied immigration.
He knows a lot more than we do about all of this. That's
I'm
true.
Not convinced that the walls. Okay, but hey, he studied it in college. I was working at the radio station. Hey, how about Vince? Is listening down in Florida on the iHeart app. Hey, Vince, what's up?
Good morning. You know, I was listening to this whole controversy about Melania. You know, everybody seems to forget the day before that, Peter Fonda made the most hideous.
Yep.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
He threatened rape on the child. She's not a one-topic person. I see all these other people, you know, all they've got is one topic. CNN's got one topic for a week. She's got a million things going on. Trump's got a million things going on. Her thought process, you know, on the way to Mexico, she might have two other subjects. I mean, her son was threatened to be raped by a psycho ex-heroin addict out there in California. Really? I mean, these people are that sick. You got the other guy in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Threatened to Trump. These people are insane on the left. And then, yeah, last year they shot up the Congress. It's not the right that does this stuff. We always hear about the right. These people have death threats against them. So she wore a jacket because her mind was focused on one thing, you know, for that one very moment, but putting on this jacket because she's fighting back a sick media and a bunch of sick people in Hollywood. I mean, look at what they went through last week with that lunatic Robert De Niro.
No, I hear you, Vince. I do hear you. But you know what? Danny, the previous caller, made a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it had to do with her absence, and the media went on for 24 days?
And there was
maybe
this,
that was it.
And there was that suggestion of domestic abuse, which was crazy. But hey, let's go to line four with Chris from Brooklyn. Good morning, Chris.
Yeah, hi. Pretty much my comment is regarding the jacket. I think it's absurd. You know, I'm in New York. You know, I'm independent, but the way I see it, everyone wears clothing. You know, everyone has comments on their clothes, regardless of political.
Yeah, but they're not being
agenda.
Seen by millions as the first lady. There's a little bit of a difference there. No one's seeing you in your clothes, Chris. Not that we want to, you know.
No, I understand that. And granted, it was definitely in bad judgment to have it worn, but I just think that regardless if there is a hidden statement as the president tweeted or toward the quote fake media or not, I just think it's clothing. You know, right. To me, it doesn't really make a world of difference. You know, it's a jacket. She didn't wear it during her her actual visit. It was coming on and off the plane.
Oh, that's a good point. She actually didn't wear it with
No, she kids. Didn't. No, she did not. She did not. She should have worn a Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning t-shirt, though.
Just quickly, de Blasio was turned away.
Let's be honest that the pain brought us here. The pain of knowing that children were taken from their mothers. The pain of knowing that they don't know. Those kids don't know when they will see their parents again.
Hey, there you go. What's wrong with that?
I want a jacket that says, "Do you really care?" That's what I'm going to put on every time I hear de Blasio speak.
You don't like it.
Do I really?
Oh, so no. Do you think Stormy Daniels will be turned away? Because she says she's going down to the border.
Yes, and it'll be very curious. Well, I'll be curious to know what she's going to be wearing.
There you go. You care about her clothing or lack thereof. Hey, when we return, we've got Alice Stockton Rossini on the case. Will the governor of New Jersey sign that bill? 5 cents for all paper and plastic bags? There's a lot of issues on both sides here. We're going to discuss with Alice. She'll sort it out next. But first, Bernie Vider has traffic.
O-R.
Happy Friday, everybody, at 9:25 in the morning. Well, paper or plastic, it doesn't matter, because either way, you're going to be charged 5 cents if the governor has his way.
Well, he has to sign it first. The legislature in New Jersey, this is all New Jersey, the legislature signed it yesterday, 5 cents for every bag.
Paper or plastic.
Or paper, but only 1 cent goes to the stores. 4 cents goes for the government to waste. And then
exactly. That big black hole known as the New Jersey budget.
But he has to sign it, Murphy. So we'll see if he signs it.
Well, let's check in with Alice Stockton Rossini, who is out there in New Jersey blowing up paper bags and popping them. Alice, good morning.
Actually, I've been like whacking my brain and calling everybody I can think of to get clarification on a provision in the bill that restricts bag use, restricts municipalities from imposing anything other than the statewide proposal. So the statewide proposal goes into effect October 1st. Any municipal or county regulations in place already would be grandfathered, but local efforts to restrict bag use after that would be banned. So you've got a ton of municipalities, particularly along the Jersey Shore, they want to ban bags or they want to impose fees. Here in Hoboken, we're right on the water here, they want to impose a 10-cent fee for a bag.
Wow.
That was just proposed in June, yeah. 10 cents. You want a bag, it's going to cost you 10 cents.
So you're saying that the state law then would supersede it and would have to be 5 cents?
That's correct, unless Hoboken passes this ordinance before October 1st. Now, there's communities that have already passed ordinances.
Yes. What happens to those?
Bags completely. If they're already passed, they're grandfathered in.
Gotcha. Okay.
So municipalities are going, hey, what about our autonomy here? But again, like anything like this, it depends on who you talk to. Some residents think it's a win-win.
We use too many plastic bags as it is. The state needs to raise revenue. There seems to be an idea that we don't want to pay for anything. So, yeah, why not? The state itself is in financial crisis, so we got to raise money somewhere. Why not on plastic bags? It's 5 cents a bag or 4 cents a bag. Why do people care?
Because then municipalities aren't autonomous. They can't say, you know what, we want to outlaw bags completely.
Well, that's sort of impossible anyway. So if you can do something by raising money but then encouraging people to do that, then why not do it that way rather than just making a blanket ban, which is unenforceable anyway.
But Alice, some municipalities, including those you mentioned along the Jersey Shore, have already banned plastic bags, have they not?
Right. Some of them have. They've gotten it through, they've passed it, and that should be fine. But still, this idea that the state is going to tell municipalities what they can do is a concern to this Ridgewood woman.
So if my town wants to outlaw the bag rule, and I live in Ridgewood, and Ridgewood said
no bags,
you would now have to pay 5 cents for a bag.
I can't wrap my brain around that. I'm okay with using reusable bags. I mean, I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
But if your town wants to outlaw them,
then it sounds like it's forced taxation. I just think there's bigger things to be angry about.
I think that's the best point of the day.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was funny. This next guy says, no ban, no fee. Certainly, plastic manufacturers who have been lobbying against any attempt in New Jersey to ban bags, put fees on bags, they're going to love this guy.
You know, I don't think it should be levied across the state, and I also don't think there should be a tax overall on the bags. I think people should be able to use and not have to carry bags to and from the grocery store.
What about the pollution, sir, the birds?
We should be recycling as well, so...
Do you think it's possible for people to use plastic bags and dispose of them properly?
I think so, I do.
You do?
I recycle my bags,
yeah. So if you could just get
the... We do it with cans, we do it with Starbucks cups, things like that. Why can't we do it with plastic bags?
Alice, I didn't know you were such a bird lover. What? I've never heard you say, what about the birds?
I hate it when seagulls cough up plastic bags on the beach. It's so annoying.
I hear you.
All right. Alice Stockton Rossini on the Bag Patrol. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Alice. That's my favorite. What about the birds?
Got to hand it to Alice. She's the bird woman of New Jersey. All right, let's go to the 9:30 news with Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Michael. Hey, was First Lady Melania Trump trying to send a message? On her way to meet with migrant children yesterday, she wore a jacket that read, "I really don't care, do you?"
I don't know what to make of it. I have no idea why she would do this. The one thing I can tell you and I can promise you, and I'm sure you guys agree with this, there is zero chance that this was... not intentional.
Okay. The president tweeted that the message was aimed at the fake news media. That was correspondent Jonathan Carl, who spoke with Len and Michael this morning. He says, of all the theories, don't believe that one.
You know what? We had a listener, Joe, and you know, your theory was good, too, that she didn't want people always commenting about her clothes.
Right.
But a listener had a theory, maybe it had to do with the 24 days she was out of commission, went to the hospital, and all the speculation of what happened and what was going on. Maybe it had something to do with that.
Well, yeah, but this was like her second public appearance after that whole business about her disappearance. Yeah. Although it was the first time she was out alone and maybe could control the situation.
Hmm.
Cynthia Nixon, who is running for governor of New York, now calling ICE a terror organization.
What?
She was on New York One.
ICE has strayed so far from its mission. It's supposed to be here to keep Americans safe, but what it's turned into is frankly a terrorist organization of its own that is terrorizing people who are coming to this country.
Okay, there you go. She says it's hard to defend images of children being separated from their kids.
That's a bit extreme, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. I don't know about the terror organization, but it is kind of hard to defend kids being ripped from the hands of their parents. A terror suspect who killed 8 people near the West Side Highway back in court today, Saiful Saipov, going to be arraigned on 6 new counts of attempted murder after plowing a rented truck through a count of people, already facing the death penalty for the deaths of 8 people. And Big Friday at the Supreme Court, the justices expected to issue opinions with just days left in their term. 10 big cases yet to be decided. The big case, the president's travel ban. Star Wars fans are so upset with The Last Jedi, they want Disney to try again. Yeah, too bad. Many have called it the worst Star Wars movie ever made.
Wow.
Others are pretending that it doesn't even exist. Now there's a new campaign being launched called Remake The Last Jedi. Already raised more than $13 million through pledges saying they're willing to cover the budget to remake the film and save Star Wars.
$13 million to remake
kidding.
The movie?
Yeah.
These people are nuts.
They're crazy. That is insanity.
A lot of Star Wars fans out there.
By the way, the budget of a Star Wars movie is about $100 million, so they got a long
way
to go.
They're on their way. It's a start.
It's a start.
$13 million to remake the movie? How much is the movie taking to the box office?
I don't know.
$13 million. Hey, look, I saw it. It wasn't that bad. If you like Star Wars. All right, Halo.
All right, 9:40 already. Good morning to you, Michael Riedel. And,
good morning, Len.
And you were before the break, you said that liberals are now invited in the state of Texas. So maybe that's why de Blasio showed up.
Exactly right. Well, there was this billboard. We talked about this yesterday, but there was this billboard that went up, and it was disparaging towards liberals. Here's what the billboard said. It said, "Len, please continue on I-40 until you have left our great state of Texas."
Leave the state. Goodbye.
That's what it said. You know, but...
It didn't have my name, did it?
No, it said, "Liberals, please continue on I-40 until you have left our great state of Texas." Well, people took pictures of it. It went viral. It went crazy. The liberals denounced it. And the sign has now come down. Randy Burkett of Burkett Outdoor Advertising spoke to the client. He doesn't name the client, but it was an individual who paid for the Liberals Keep Out of Texas sign. They've taken it down, and now the Amarillo Convention Visitors Council has leased the sign, and the sign now says, Welcome, y'all, to Amarillo. You too, Len. Welcome to Amarillo.
That's a funny sign.
I like it, yes.
Someone paid for it, obviously.
I don't know who paid for it, but somebody down in Texas paid for it. Liberals, please continue on I-40 until you have left our great state of Texas. Liberals went crazy because this shows you once again that liberals have no sense of humor.
Is that true? Huh?
Yes.
See, I didn't know
that's why they went nuts.
Yeah, okay.
You could have laughed it off and driven through. But no,
I thought it was funny, so I have a sense of humor.
All right.
Maybe I'm not liberal. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So when you watch Johnny Carson, as we
I love Carson.
You love Carson.
Yeah.
What was his political point of view?
You never knew. He zinged both left and right.
You never knew, right?
Yeah. He made fun of Carter. He made fun of Reagan.
Jay Leno.
Never knew.
Never knew.
He made fun of them all.
Absolutely.
As well. Yep.
See, that's the thing. But nowadays, it's like so totally one-sided. I mean, it's just unbelievable. If you watch Stephen Colbert, it's all
anti-Trump.
It's all one-sided. Well, the reason I bring this up is during the election, during the campaign, Donald Trump visited Jimmy Fallon.
Yep.
And Fallon, I guess they were making fun of Trump's hair. So Fallon rubbed his hand through Trump's hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw it. I happened to be watching.
I thought it was cute. It was funny.
Come on. The guy is a candidate. It's a bit. You know, Trump could be cartoonish as a character. And, and that's what he was playing along on a talk show. Well, I guess Fallon got killed.
He did, because all the Trump haters thought he was legitimizing Trump by having him on the show and not challenging him or attacking him.
Well, so anyway, Fallon apparently took this. I don't know if it's cause and effect, but before too long, Fallon played the role of Carson and Leno. You know,
not political. Yeah,
his ratings. He lost a fifth of his audience.
Yep.
And lost his late night crown to Stephen Colbert.
Yep.
So obviously, he's taking this to heart. Well, he's finally opened up about this. He did a podcast with The Hollywood Reporter.
I did not do it to normalize him or to say I believe in his political beliefs or any of that stuff. I don't do that with any guest.
Right.
Anyone. I mean, whoever's on the show tonight, I don't know who they believe in or what they believe in. I just have him on as a guest.
And he wound up, what do you hear this? I guess he's apologizing, but.
You go, all right, we get it. I heard you.
Right.
You made me feel bad. So now what? You happy? I'm depressed. You want to push me more? Or what do you want me to do?
I know. What are you supposed? I mean,
you want me to kill myself? What would make you happy? Get over it.
You know that he just obviously
he really took that to heart.
Yeah. So what he's saying to the critics is, "I hear you. I heard that criticism. What do you want me to do? I'm sorry. You know,
if he'd played with Bernie Sanders' hair, there wouldn't be a problem. You could play with that hair too.
Oh boy, but I almost feel bad. I almost feel bad for him.
You know, the problem was that he tanked in the ratings. He was clocking Colbert. He was beating Colbert. And then Colbert went totally left-wing, hardcore left, totally anti-Trump. And Colbert's ratings soared, and Fallon got knocked for this, and his ratings fell. So I'm sure that took its toll on him.
Well, what bothers me is you can't even have late-night entertainment without people going nuts. Clearly, people went nuts. I mean, they get crazed over this. Why can't you just have, you know, everyone's nuts anyway on politics. Why can't you have a little bit of a holiday?
I actually liked Fallon because it was the only show out there at night, late night, that wasn't political. It was a break. It was a respite from the politics all the time. And I thought Fallon's the best of all the late night hosts. I can't stand Colbert.
Well, I like Jimmy. I've met him. I don't think his strength is stand up. I think his strength is SNL kind of shtick, playing, singing, dancing, doing impersonations. I just don't think that's his strength.
Yeah,
so I think Kimmel and Colbert and are better at stand-up.
Yeah, but his show is not all stand-up. He does the opening monologue, and then the rest of it is just having a good time with celebrities.
Yep. Let's talk Corey Lewandowski.
Speaking of stand-up.
Let's go all the way back earlier this week when he was on Vice. He's not the voice speaking, but he's the famous womp womp guy in the background.
I mean, look, I read today about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
Womp,
I read about a did you say womp womp to a 10-year-old with Down syndrome
what
being
I
taken
said
from
is
her
you
mother?
Can pick anything
How
you
dare
want
you?
Out, but the bottom line
How
is very clear.
You?
When you cross
How absolutely
the border
dare you,
illegally,
sir?
You
How
have
dare
given
you?
Up the
we
rights
have infants
of this
that are being
country.
Taken from
look,
their
we
mothers.
We are a country with
we
borders.
Infants,
we are a country.
All right, this one.
Enough of that, please.
But,
enough of that.
Now, you defended him and claimed he wasn't talking about
he was not making fun of the Down syndrome kid. He was going wah wah because he thought, here we go, liberal talking points, the liberal bleeding heart sob story stuff. That's what he was saying wah wah for.
Well, he's forever going to be known as
wah, wah.
I read a
And now it turns out the other shoe has dropped.
Uh-oh.
He has been dumped
by
a top speakers bureau in Washington, D.C. Because of this. And they said that, he claims... He claims he wasn't mocking. Obviously, he claims he wasn't mocking the 10-year-old girl. But Speakers Bureau says, because of Mr. Womp Womp, we're no longer going to have him
No womp womp for him.
When it comes to his speaking engagements.
How much money would you pay to go see him speak?
Well, he's one of these guys. I don't even remember what he did.
He was there for 30 seconds or something like that.
What was his job? I don't even remember.
He didn't last. I mean, who's booking him to speak? Not the Down Syndrome Convention.
And while you're on the subject, what's Sean Spicer doing? I mean,
yes, I haven't seen Sean Spicer in a long, long time.
What's amazing
He's got a book coming out this summer. You'll see him.
Oh, we'll be here.
but what's amazing to me is how these people and the storylines... It's like Oz. They come and go so quickly. I mean, as I was saying to John Carl, was it John Carl of ABC News? What happened to Korea? That was so 2 minutes ago. It's unbelievable. That was the whole big story. And now,
gone.
Nothing. It's amazing.
Gone.
All right. Coming up next.
What is coming up?
Well, the guy was fine, but not so his burrito. Wait to hear this police report. This is the official police report. It's all coming up next. But first, let's get the traffic report. Bernie Vice.
WOR.
Good morning, everybody. At 9:54, Mark Simone, Mr. New York, is on deck after the 10 o'clock news. And he's got the legendary Boston radio talk show host, Howie Carr, as his guest.
You're not on today?
I'm a little insulted. I wasn't on at all this week.
Not at all?
I usually go once a week.
They didn't ask you?
No, they did not.
I think they've seen you hanging around with me too much. they think you're tainted goods, buddy.
I've been blemished by Len Berman. There you are. Hey, just a little sad story to report here. They buried Kate Spade yesterday in Kansas City, the designer who hanged herself in her apartment. And the night before her funeral, her father, Earl F. Brosnahan, he died at the age of 89. They say he was in failing health, and the suicide of his daughter just broke his heart.
Mm.
And he died before he was able to attend her funeral. It's a sad story.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. I was just reading the story, too. I wasn't aware of the fact that that Kate Spade was born Christmas Eve.
Oh, I was born Christmas Eve.
Where? So you
share the same birthday. December 24th.
Well, is your middle name Noel? Well, hers was.
That's my drag name.
Yeah, no.
That is the number one question I get. My daughter's name is Noelle.
Yeah,
really.
She born on Christmas?
Do they really? I
was like,
never thought about that.
No, winter.
No, not at all.
She gets it all the time, and of course, everybody has to sing the first Noel.
Well,
when they see her, she's like, oh.
But she spells it Noelle.
Yes, which is a French way of spelling it, which a lot of girls with the name Noelle use that because if not, sometimes they think it's Noel.
I see. So why'd you choose that name?
Well, my name is Natalie. My husband's name is Christopher, and they're both referencing Christmas.
Ah.
So we thought the name was pretty. We thought the name was pretty, and then we were like, oh,
When's her birthday?
February 1st.
That's nothing to do with any holiday.
Well, it's winter.
So how does Natalie reference Christmas?
Well, it's just like Natalia.
Yeah.
It's...
You're not selling me on this name.
No, the name means little one born on Christmas.
Finally. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You were the little one born on Christmas?
And I wasn't. I was born in November.
I was the little one born on Christmas, folks. I'm the December 24th
kid. We'll start calling you Natalie and Noel, okay?
As I said, Noel, that's my drag name.
How about this story? This is the official police. This is very funny. This is in Oregon.
Yeah.
They're claiming that a 20-year-old motorist crashed his vehicle because he was eating while driving, and he was chowing down on a burrito.
Mm.
And they're trying to use this as a teaching moment.
They are.
So they posted a photo of the car, which can be seen in the ditch on the side of the road. And the police department tweeted out, "Driver did not sustain any injuries. The burrito was the only casualty."
R.I.P. burrito.
People are having a blast with it on Twitter. Someone actually did tweet R.I. burrito.
They need burrito seats in those cars now.
There you go.
You little seatbelts. Little burrito seatbelts. That's what they need.
That's what they need.
A little burrito seatbelt. Hey, this is a big, big storyline. Melania Trump went down to the border to look after the little immigrant children. Yes. Well, guess who else is headed towards the border?
I know.
Your favorite.
Is this true?
Your favorite topic in the news always leads the big three with their big two. Stormy Daniels is headed down to the border to look after the immigrant children. Well, you know what? They'll have milk.
I knew it. I could predict that one. I did, a million miles away.
Well, a Twitter user pleaded with Stormy. You know, her strip club tour is scheduled.
Oh, so she's going to take a break from the tour?
Well, no. Her strip club tour is scheduled, wouldn't you know, to be in Texas on July 4th.
It's a side trip.
On July 4th, she's going to be in Texas. And someone pleaded with her on Twitter, Stormy, please use your platform to help these kids.
Oh, my God.
We know how much you love your child. We need help to get them back to their parents. Hey, what is she going to do?
She's going to bring her burritos to the detention center.
Do you think she'll bring any cameras along?
You think Michael Avenatti might show up with her?
Yeah, I know.
With Anderson Cooper in tow?
He's recently, Avenatti has taken on several cases involving the immigrants.
Oh, out of the goodness of his heart.
See, there you go. Stormy's going to show up there.
I can't believe it. I'm dying to know. I'd like to see her in a Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning t-shirt.
Do we have one that's...
Do
we have one that's big enough?
All right, do the Starbucks thing and we'll get out of here.
Oh, yeah. So sales of a Frappuccino at Starbucks are sagging, unlike Stormy Daniels.
Speaking of...
We got to get out of here. No, they're down 3%, and this is because...
They're down 3%.
Everybody's into feeling fit and feeling well, and this is true. Those Frappuccinos, they have like 8,000 calories in there. They're all sugar and syrup and cream.
A large Frappuccino could be your calorie content for the day.
Yeah.
But they are good.
Yeah, no,
but sales are down. Natalie's off the Frappuccino. Sales are down.
I know. I haven't gotten one for that reason for a while. It's summertime.
Black coffee, folks, has no calories. Black coffee, no calories. All right. It's been fun. If you want to check out our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. We got a bonus segment, podcasting, all the fun stuff we talked about. Up next is Mark Simone. He'll be talking to Boston radio legend Howie Carr.
And to quote Melania.